Coming to you live from the Hall of Truth, it's the Nate Darling Show.
Fire a warning shot across her nose.
With Jason Casey and Kareem Daniels. And now, relax, good citizen.
Nothing! You've got nothing!
Here's Nate.
Ah, back for the Friday episode of the Nate Darling Show. Episode number 578. It's a lot of shows.
It's a lot of shows.
A lot of entertainment for you, all free of charge.
Free!
Free. All we ask is that you shop Amazon through the Shop Amazon tab at NateDarlingShow.com. That's it.
That's all you need to do.
It doesn't cost you anything extra, and it helps out the show. So
it helps that show out.
I just had to renew the website. That was over $100.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, it ain't free. This ain't free on this end. There's costs associated. Got to buy new mic stands here coming up. Yeah. Jason's on what we used to call an N-word rigged mic stand.
Yes.
Now, but it's okay. Apparently, it's okay to call it jerry-rigged. I'm not sure why that's okay, but basically,
What did Jerry ever do?
Well, Jerry was also a nickname for the Germans.
Oh,
I know that because I watched Hogan's Heroes. I watched nothing but politically correct programming when I was younger.
I used to love Hogan's Heroes.
There was an African American on Hogan's Heroes.
There was one,
and he was one of the heroes. And then they swapped him out for a different African American guy, and we weren't supposed to notice. I noticed. I'm like, that doesn't look at all like Kinch. Who's this guy?
Yeah, I was watching Walking Tall, the original.
Okay.
They had like a marathon on a couple of weeks ago. And so you watch the first one. There's a black guy in there. And then you go to the second one, and there's another black guy that's the sheriff or the deputy sheriff. And there was another Buford T. Pusser too, so it sucks.
The new Walking Tall sucked.
Are you talking about the one with The Rock?
The one with The Rock?
No, the old one is. So there was like three. They had like three Walking Talls. Like the movie came out, like there were like three.
Oh, I see.
There was a trilogy of them.
I see. Okay.
Then Kevin Sorbo brought it back in the '90s or maybe in the 2000s. And then they did The Rock one.
Oh, so it was like straight to video, probably like Kevin Sorbo.
The Kevin Sorbo was, but the other ones were in the movie theater.
Yeah.
They call me Mr. Tibbs.
That's it.
Not something else. That's in the heat of the night.
Mr. Tibbs, was that Mr. Tibbs?
It was.
Yeah.
The night?
Yeah.
And then the Walking Tall that The Rock did, the only thing that they kept from the original one was the
2x4?
The 2x4 and him getting cut up.
Oh.
Spoiler alert. It's been a big time for hashtags. So I was on Twitter a while ago now, because we were off last week. And one of the big hashtags was hashtag women tell all. And I thought, well, you know, with hashtag me too, there's a lot of stuff going on that women need to tell all about. What are women telling all about? Well, let's go back to a magical time, February 25th, exactly, for the rush of women, hashtag women tell all. Here are some of the tweets. I hope that Bachelor producers read our tweets so that they see that no one wants Tia for Bachelorette. Hashtag women tell all. Hey, why does everyone hate Tia? She doesn't take shit from anyone. Y'all want someone who lets people walk all over her? Hashtag women tell all. Tia is a low-key bitch. I wouldn't watch her as Bachelorette. Hashtag women tell all. At this point, I've become disappointed in the women tell all hashtag. But it continues. You know what this needs, Jason? This needs some music.
Yeah, what is the music, bud?
This needs some music to,
yeah, bro, come on.
To really sort of drive it home.
Yeah, I'm already stabbing my fucking eyes out.
Hashtag women tell all. Hashtag women tell all. All right, let's, all right, this'll help you. Woo! Hashtag women tell all. Everyone's saying they want CN or Tia to be the next Bachelorette, while I'm over here wanting Becca K. Let's be honest, she deserves it out of everyone after what Ari did to her. Luke Pell and Crystal would make a good match. Hashtag women tell all. Reality Jane tweets, kind of surprised none of the girls have pointed out it's hard to take Tia's criticism of Becca in good faith when she immediately targeted Kendall the following week. Hashtag The Bachelor. Hashtag women tell all. I mean, here's the thing. The Bachelor, it's their hashtag. They tweeted, Tia's not holding back when she confronts Ari tonight on hashtag The Bachelor. Hashtag women tell all. Even Ari got into it. I need one of those found t-shirts. Anyone have a promo code? Hashtag women tell all. Hashtag The Bachelor. Now, as this goes through, you know, when you follow a hashtag and everything like that, they give you a another one, brown women tell all. I have a feeling that might be a little bit different. Shall we explore?
Sure, why not?
I mean, I'm going to leave Megan Trainor playing. I'm sorry. They haven't tweeted since early 2017. What has happened to the brown women? Apparently, they got tired of telling all.
Oh, there was only one brown pastorette.
That's all there is. Oh, that's wow.
That's too bad.
Right? So disappointing.
That was gonna be awesome.
I was expecting women to come through with something awesome. And women have let me down. It's like college all over again. Just gonna tell you. Oh, here's some breaking news on Monday. Headline: Houston man fatally shot in possible bulletproof vest game gone wrong.
Oops.
A house party in the Houston Heights neighborhood turned deadly when a man put on a bulletproof vest and reportedly said, "Shoot me!" Another party guest then fired at the man and killed him. All right, Kareem. Black guy or white guy?
I'm almost certain it's a white guy, but there's always one.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what the Houston Heights neighborhood is.
Oh, you said Houston Heights, then it probably was a black guy. Let's see.
I don't think we're going to see. We're just, yeah. Yeah, it's... Yeah, there's that.
I thought it was a trailer, though, so it might be white people.
Black people live in trailers, too, Jason.
That's right. I lived in one for a while.
Oh, hold on. Oh, we've got the man charged after the shooting, white guy.
That means he probably didn't even shoot him in the vest. He probably shot him somewhere else. Shoot me.
All right. Well, that was disappointing. I apologize. I'm giving everyone their money back. Everyone gets whatever you paid for the podcast. We're giving it all back to you. All back to you. All right. Speaking of hashtags, on Sunday, the hashtag Music Heard in Hell was going around. It was Saturday. It was over the weekend. And so I messaged both Jason and Kareem and said, I'm going to need your music heard in hell. And we did this before on the show when Ted and Becca were on. We did Heaven and Hell. We're just doing hell today for time's sake. So let's sort of go through this. This isn't one of them. This is out of nowhere. I love this song. Yeah. And you might remember it with like Kittens.
Is this?
This is the Electric Six.
Oh, all right.
It was made into an internet meme.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, you'll recognize it. All right, so here we go. Kareem's number three song from Hell. Do you remember what it is, Kareem?
The Barney song.
play. Now, there were two, because I searched for the Barney theme, but I thought, he has to mean this.
Yes.
Jason, your number three song. You said anything by Aaron Carter. So I got a little poetic license, and I found this gem. He's going to explain what's going on to you at the beginning, because that's... Yeah. It does. Woo! Sounds like every Aaron Carter song. That's why you didn't specify. Okay, do you know what this song is?
I'm so much better for not.
Okay, well, I'll continue. Story. Come on, I was hanging at the court, just playing some bar, working on my game. Wow. Yeah, we heard it all. I heard the fans screaming, I thought it was for me. But then I saw a shadow, it was 12 foot 3. It was Shaquille O'Neal. What? What did he say? How about some one-on-one you want to play? I told him why not, I got some time. But when I beat you real bad, try not to cry. Please, Aaron, are you for real?
One-on-one,
Shaquille O'Neal?
Yeah, 34 center from the
LA Lakers. Oh, my God. Okay, first of all, Shaquille O'Neal has never spoken that clearly in his life.
He's not 12 foot tall.
Well, the shadow was 12 foot tall.
Oh, so it was late in the afternoon or early in the morning.
Sure. Yeah, he was just working on some skills. My number three song that I absolutely hate, it would be on a loop in hell. Some people are going to be very angry at me for this.
Oh, like, come on, man.
Yeah, you're one of them. This song, I fucking hate this song.
Why do you hate it?
Because it's the beginning of the end of U2 making good music.
It's the beginning and the end?
It's the beginning of the end of them making nothing but terrible tripe. I nicknamed this the emergency broadcast system song because it sounds more like a 1 kilohertz tone than anything I would want to hear. There's a lot of whining. There's a lot of, as Adam Carolla points out, bucka 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 bucka. Yeah, I still haven't found what I'm looking for either. Shut up. It's such a shame because early U2 is so fucking amazing. All right, Kareem, your number two song, Playing in Hell. I was a little surprised that you were you're going to go against one of your cousins. I mean, if you're going to, I guess this is probably the best one to do it with.
Yeah.
By the way, prayers up to Rick Ross. This takes a little while to build. This gives you time to wander out of the closet, back into the closet, out of the closet, pee on some teenagers.
This is just the perfect amount of time to pee on a teenager.
Oh, yeah. Even if you're a little pee shy. I used to think that I could not go on. Really wish you would have listened to that, R. Kelly. Jason, your number two song. You also hate on a black guy here with your number two song from Hell. This is as disappointing to me as me hating you two was disappointing to you. How do you hate Tone Loc's Funky Cold Medina?
Because I'm so embarrassed that I actually even like this song. Like, a lot. Like, so it makes me feel awkward and weird. Especially when this is all about, like, giving a woman drugs to get her to sleep with you. I know all the words to it. I know the song by heart.
Let me tell you something. Every guy and most girls in a certain age range know all the words to the song.
Yeah.
Just saying. Oh, what is it? Oh, he said?
Funky Cold Medina.
All right, my number two, we have a theme here. Our number two, all of us hate black people.
That's a good song to hate right there. Oh,
I hate this song so much. It's repetitive and irritating like every dance song, but in a more irritating way for some reason.
Yeah.
If you're unfamiliar, it's LaBouche and Be My Lover. This is on a loop in hell. Nope. Only to put my dick in your mouth to shut you up. That's the only reason I would want to be your lover. All right. So, Kareem, this is your number one song playing in hell on a loop. Well, I'm sorry. This isn't the original. This is this is Vanilla from Vanilla Ice's Back. So it's a bit of a remix.
Why?
Oh wait, it's exactly the same.
Yeah.
What puts this at the top of your Hell hit parade?
I don't even know. Anytime it comes on in the car, I make my girlfriend change the channel. I would rather listen to country music than listen to this.
Oh, all right, Jason. Your number one song playing in hell?
Oh, don't fucking play. I hate this song.
Is it this version of Crazy Bitch by Buck Cherry?
Yes.
Okay, fun story. I saw Buck Cherry open for Kiss, and I fucking love this song.
I love this song, too.
I can even talk up the post. That's how much I like it. Rant me out. Getting fucking laid. Yeah. You know why? Hey, you're crazy, bitch, but you're so good, I'm on top of it. When you dream of doing you all night, is it all around my face again? Hey, you're crazy, bitch, but you're so good, I'm on top of it.
Man, I don't know. Maybe it's because I used to hang out in bars a lot because I was a fucking alcoholic. But this song would come on the fucking jukebox, and every fucking white trash white chick would be fucking dancing around like she had the fucking crazy pussy and is going to give it up to somebody that night. And they were going to, but it's just, I'm fucking tired of it. I heard it so many times, and it's just so fucking, like, it's not fucking original, and like, not every single, like, oh man.
Jason,
and I
tired of pussy.
No, I'm not tired, I'm just... What the fuck did you say? Get the fuck out of here. Nah, it's fuck this song, man. I hate this fucking song, man. I don't know. It's just something about it. Like, I hear it, and like all I can think about are like these fucking...
No slut shaming.
Man.
You've been hoisted on your politically correct petard.
Yeah, I know.
All right, I'm gonna stop your pain with my own.
This is along the same lines. Like, if I had to pick a second, like, these are paid. This song is played by the same person that played the last song. I just want you to know that. In fact, they might be played in succession. In fact, I'm pretty sure they usually are played in succession. Like, you hear this song, and that same woman would then be like, "Oh, I played this song too."
This song is the perfect combination of so many terrible genres of music. This is like a stew of the shittiest music ever made, all put into one thing and turned up.
Oh yeah.
Because you could do the full-on dance club dance. You could line dance to it. Any fucked up asshole dance you want to do. In 1995, some fucker was doing it to this.
The El Dorado Saloon.
And then we throw this shit in. Loop in Hell.
Yep. The El Dorado Saloon. I remember this.
We used to go to this place called Boots. My buddy was like, man, no, the women that wear those Rockies, they don't have any pockets on them.
By the way, this song on Spotify has been played 67 million times. So clearly it is on a loop in hell.
How many times has Crazy Bitch been played?
Oh, nowhere near this number. Nowhere near this number. Crazy Bitch by Buck Cherry. Let's see if I can find it. 28 million times. I mean, granted, in a much shorter time frame.
Yeah, fucking hate that show.
And here's the thing about... This is Rednecks with an X. So you're thinking, oh, well, this is just one thing that they did. Oh, no. This is a different fucking song, but it's not. It's the same song. Now, this isn't Cotton Eye Joe. This is old Poppin' an Oak.
It sounds like
4.5 million plays on Spotify. This is the radio edit, by the way. So people were playing this on the radio. They were broadcasting this over the airwaves. When I'm having a bad day, sometimes I will play Rednecks just to remind me that my life is way better.
Yeah, I get that. I get that, bro.
Let's try another song by them, see if it's different. Oh. Oh.
Sometimes I'll click on the Blaze link just to...
What's this? Oh, this is their... Oh.
This isn't Rednecks, is this?
It is. They're like, ah, we'll let the girl do a song. They're like... And then they came back out and they did 6 encores of this. Yeehaw! On a loop in hell. On a loop in hell. Have you... Well, I've seen Buck Cherry live in concert. Have you seen Rednecks live in concert?
No. No, but once
you know, you know the worst part about these fuckers? Do you want to know the worst part about these fuckers? Pay attention, Donald Trump. They're a Swedish musical group. This is what happens when you import more white people. This is what you get.
I could, with the house beat underneath it, like the whole like, totally sounds like, yeah. Remember, there's a song that came out, was like Sound Bombing by Bucketheads. I just remember this is like the rave music. This is like possibly in a rave tent.
I can't anymore.
Come on, play more of this,
bro. I'm done with that.
Come on, Kind Eye Joe.
Sweet Jesus. I've already played it twice.
Come on, Kind Eye Joe.
Whoo.
Go for an Okina Pop.
Oh, hold on. I think I need... you know what? I need a palate cleanser. I need a palate cleanser.
Oh, Jesus.
Are you ready? I need a palate cleanser.
Don't you dare do you, Karen Carter.
Hey, they're on tour.
Of course they are.
Go see them June 29th.
Oh, they're going to be at the fair this year.
It's the a cappella version, too, so. Not the STFU remix. Well, now I know if I ever do karaoke with Jason, which song I'm doing.
It's fine. I'm okay with you singing it.
Hey, you're crazy, bitch, and you fuck so good, I'm on top of it. I dream, you all night, it's all around the time, hey, oh, hey.
I mean, you sing it really well.
Okay, enough of that. is anybody still listening to this show? No, they're not.
No, not after we played all those songs. like just topping it
Look,
off.
I think everybody has got their songs that they absolutely fucking hate, and there are people that love the songs that we all hate, so... Yeah. Let us know if there's a song that you love or hate. We'll get through there. Meanwhile, the Winter Olympics have ended, and Olympian Lauren Gibbs has been slammed for a selfie with Ivanka Trump. She's a bobsledder. She is exceeding at representing the United States at the Olympics in South Korea. Apart from winning a silver medal, she left politics aside and posed for a quick snap next to first daughter Ivanka Trump and Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders. However, the small gesture created polarizing views on Twitter. What? It's important to remember that we don't have to agree on everything to get along, she tweeted. Be civil to each other and enjoy each other's company. Hashtag It's for America. It was a pleasure to meet you both. And then she posted the tweet. It's connecting now. Thank you. The athlete diplomatically captioned the photo. With that, some fans are disappointed that she posed next to Trump. Someone named Anna said, I'm sorry, but they are still complicit and therefore culpable. They can appear nice in person, but get support. Someone who is racist and taking away rights and health care, so don't fall for it. She spelled butt with two T's.
Did you?
She did.
Oh, man.
Lauren Gibbs replied, I'm not falling for anything, but being nasty to them would not solve the issue, and don't get me wrong, there are many issues. But fans weren't done yet. She said, I'm capturing my full experience of my first Olympics. They are part of it. Again, whether I like what they stand for or not. And then Garth St. Omer, thanks, Garth, said, you're providing comfort and support. You're clearly not someone who pays attention to government politics. You were busy training. If you knew all the things at real Donald Trump has done and said even before his election, you wouldn't be taking this picture. Fuck all of you. What is she supposed to do?
Yeah.
She's an Olympic athlete in the Olympic Village representing the United States of America.
Exactly.
She's taking a picture with two people. By the way, everybody takes pictures with assholes. Every famous person takes pictures with so many people, you're bound to have a gaggle of assholes in there.
Yeah, and if you have a bunch of pictures with celebrities and you're not a celebrity, then you're probably that asshole.
So, I mean, what does she have to gain by being miserable to these two? Nothing.
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 Yeah.
She's having, and by the way, having a regular human interaction with someone you disagree with is perfectly okay.
That's fucking normal. That's the way as humans we're supposed to be able to fucking function is by being able to fucking have, oh my God, it just.
Exactly. Exactly. So kudos to you, Lauren Gibbs.
Unless you voted for Trump, then fuck you. Time's up.
Time's up. As John Cena said, your time is up. My time is now. Meanwhile, a search for buried treasure linked to an Illinois man's death at Yellowstone. Last summer, 53-year-old Jeff Murphy was hiking in Yellowstone when he disappeared. Well, park investigators found his body on June 9th, where Murphy had fallen 500 feet from Turkey Pen Peak after accidentally stepping into a chute. But it wasn't just any hike. He was looking for a treasure box of gold and jewels worth up to $2 million buried somewhere in the Rocky Mountains by an eccentric millionaire named Forrest Fenn. By the way, does this all sound made up? There's an eccentric millionaire named Forrest Fenn, and he's buried a treasure box full of gold and jewels. But you must hike the Rocky Mountains and find them. Apparently, Fenn is an art dealer and millionaire. He's in his 80s. He lives in Santa Fe, New Mexico. In his self-published memoir, he included a poem that supposedly leads to the treasure that he hid in the mountains. It reads, "The ornate Romanesque box is 10 by 10 inches and weighs about 40 pounds when loaded. Fenn has only revealed that it's hidden in the Rocky Mountains somewhere between Santa Fe and the Canadian border at an elevation above 5,000 feet. It's not at a mine or a graveyard or near a structure." Here's the fun fact. Murphy is the fourth man to die while looking for this chest.
Wow.
To which I say, good riddance, idiots! I know that sounds harsh, but really... Really? Someone wrote a poem about a chest full of jewels and you're out... I mean, I understand this is stuff of pirate lore, matey. This is an art dealer who wrote a poem. Doesn't seem stupid to anybody else? Jason, are you planning your trip to the Rockies?
Kind of. I mean, there's something, like, the people like looking for treasure. People like doing... I mean, like... There's meetup groups. There's groups of guys that go and metal detect, like, around town and up in the foothills and stuff like that, looking for gold and shit like that. Like, there's guys that meet up together to do that type of stuff. So, there's a instinct, I think, in some of us to want to search for things.
Kareem, are any of these people who died looking for the treasure black?
No.
Okay, thank you.
No.
I'm just going to go ahead and go, hey, white people, stop being stupid. Thank you. Meanwhile, ranchers are set to fight back against vegetarian fake meat.
Get the fuck out of here.
It's true. Companies like Impossible Foods and Beyond Meat are combining plant-based ingredients and science rather than animals to create fake meat burgers and other products that taste like the real thing. Now the U.S. Cattlemen's Association is looking to draw a line in the sand with their hooves. The association launched what could be the first salvo in a long battle against plant-based foods. Earlier this month, the association filed a 15-page petition with the U.S. Department of Agriculture calling for an official definition for the term beef and, more broadly, meat. Okay. I don't have a problem with that. Saying, while at this time alternative protein sources are not a direct threat to the beef industry, we do see improper labeling of these products as misleading. Our goal is to head off the problem before it becomes a larger issue. Well, not everybody sees it that way. Ethan Brown, founder and CEO of Beyond Meat, said consumers already know what they're looking for when they're browsing the grocery store aisles, but he doesn't necessarily see the petition as a bad thing. He said, I think it could actually help us more than it hurt us because it starts the national dialogue around what really is meat and if the origin of meat really matters to the consumer. The cattle ranching group contends that if a product is going to be labeled beef, it should come from the flesh of cattle, and that means products like veggie burgers and tofurkey won't make the cut. I'm fine with labeling it, but who is it?
I mean, the people that are buying it know it's not meat.
Right. Are they really? First of all, if you're being fooled, you're like, my God, this burger tastes terrible.
Yeah.
Because anything that everyone's like, you know, if you load it up with lettuce and tomato and a lot of mustard and some ketchup, it sort of tastes just like a burger.
No.
It does not. And as someone who is a connoisseur of the plain cheeseburger, sometimes the plain bacon cheeseburger, I will add things occasionally to stuff, hot sauce, barbecue sauce, stuff like that. I start with the basic. So I know what I'm eating. I bite into it. I know how good it is. I know if it tastes off and I should stop eating immediately. As the only thing that's ever given me food poisoning is a goddamn muffin. Goddamn dirty muffin.
So you end up like Jason.
I've been fooled by... I've been fooled. People know what it is. But you know what really chaps my ass, though? People calling it vegan cheese. It's not cheese. It's... vegan, whatever it is. You can't call Kraft Singles cheese.
No.
But you can call vegan cheese cheese? Fuck you. No, you can't.
Who wants vegan cheese anyway?
Well, vegans do. I have no problem with them having it.
Yeah.
Just don't call it cheese, because it's not cheese. No. And by the way, if you want to be vegan, why this constant struggle to go back and make things that are just like the things that you hate to eat?
Yeah.
What's the point of that? And I get you're trying to gateway rubes into your lifestyle, and that's fine.
Yeah.
If you want to use it as a gateway thing and be like, oh, hey, tofurkey, it tastes just like turkey. It doesn't.
Nope.
And that's fine. Whatever you want to do, whatever you need to do. Ted and Becca are both vegan. I love Ted and Becca. They're fantastic. But here's what they're not. They're not militant vegan. They don't get all up in your face if you're not vegan.
No, most of the vegans that I know don't do that.
Right. It's a very rare person who is very militant vegan. And usually if you just be like, and this was the interesting thing. And it's sort of like, this goes back toward Black Lives Matter for a moment. The Black Lives Matter, All Lives Matter thing. So, Black Lives Matter is a thing. And then we got All Lives Matter. Vegans don't want everything at your restaurant to be vegan. They just want to be able to go to a restaurant and have a couple of things that are vegan.
Yeah.
That they can eat. And it's the same thing. So people, they'd want to turn it all into the... No, they don't.
No.
They just want to be able to have a veggie burger.
Do you remember when those fuckers tried to get...
The vegans?
They wanted to get them to start serving a vegan burger at In-N-Out. Like they sent around, there's like a petition.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I was like... Fuck you, fuck all y'all. So I made a petition that went nowhere.
It was a grilled cheese.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, they have fucking grilled cheese there, bro.
By the way, grilled cheese is not vegan.
Yeah, exactly. There's no meat.
They have a vegan option at In-N-Out Burger. It's called a lettuce and tomatoes sandwich.
Yeah, lettuce, tomato.
But no bun because there's egg in the bun.
There's egg in the bun.
That is so dumb. Because nobody's killing anything to make cheese.
Well, yeah, exactly.
But, well, you could say that they're killing the baby cows that are coming out.
They're not. I get if you don't want to eat cheese. I'm totally down with that. But yeah, you're right. To have a vegan option at In-N-Out Burger is dumb.
It's the most stupidest thing ever. And not only, so like, anyhow, so I made a petition to get it so at Love and Hut, which is a vegan restaurant.
Oh, I recall this, yeah.
Yeah, so they could start serving hamburgers.
I believe you got 20 signatures.
Yeah, I got like 20 signatures. I got a vegan guy though. He got so pissed off with me. He's like, this is not a funny joke.
I know. I was very mad.
It's like, nope, but I got your reaction. Thanks, bro.
Oh, here, let's rabbit hole for a moment. Charles Barkley, this is from last November. He's fired off a surprising take during NBA coverage back in November, saying that vegetarians aren't real. he was discussing Spurs big man LaMarcus Aldridge, saying he's a terrific player, but he's one of those guys. He makes me nervous. I don't like people who don't get mad. Ernie, I don't trust people like vegetarians. That's not a thing. Everybody likes meat. To which Ernie just. The transcript is just Ernie ... And he said, it's not a thing, Ernie. Just because they say it doesn't make it true. So there's no such thing as a vegetarian. Nobody doesn't like meat. yeah, no.
And to kind of be fair, a lot of the people that they become vegetarian, They don't stop liking meat. It's a choice. Yeah, it's a choice.
No, yeah. The people that I know that are vegan, they made a choice for health reasons usually, like, or something, you know, I mean, like,
Or they're dating a vegan. they'd like to have sex.
Yes. But if you ask them, they'd be like, oh, yeah, sometimes I want a cheeseburger.
Oh, yeah. Even Becca, who's the nicest, gentlest vegan person you'll ever meet, is like, you know, sometimes I have a craving for bacon. I'm like that.
How can you not have a craving for bacon?
Here's the rub, though. There are actually a handful of players in the NBA who are vegan or vegetarian, and it's becoming more popular for players in other sports as well. Denver's Wilson Chandler explained why he became vegan over the summer and said he has a higher energy level and his body recovers faster since making the switch. Trailblazers star Damian Lillard switched over to a vegan diet before the season began in order to lose weight and reduce the stress on his joints.
Hmm. Tony Gonzalez was a vegan.
Yeah, there are plenty of big, strong vegans. Yeah. They're not all like Keith Lowell Jensen. Happy birthday, Keith. I don't know if he's vegan or just vegetarian. Either way. Meanwhile, former White House ethics attorney has weighed in. See, they had their CPAC convention, and the chairman of the FCC was given a gun by the NRA. Well, it was a gun, but it was part of their award. It's like, oh, here's your award. But it was a handmade gun, which is pretty expensive, given to the FCC chair Ajit Pai by the NRA, is likely a violation of federal ethics rules. Do we even have those anymore? Media outlets noted the gifting of the handmade Kentucky Long to Pai at the annual Conservative Political Action Committee conference in Maryland. Pai received the gun as part of the NRA's Charlton Heston Courage Under Fire Award. The courage to just approve any large media merger that comes before you, I guess?
Yeah.
The courage to drink out of a giant cup? I don't know why he got the award. But anyway, because he was roundly mocked and trolled online after controversially reversing the Obama-era net neutrality rules.
He should have been mocked.
Right. That it violates ethics awards, but ethics don't matter anymore. So, I mean, come on. Am I right? You know what I mean?
Ethics don't exist.
Dead. Government ethics? Nope, not a thing anymore. We don't even pretend. We do not even pretend anymore. Not even going to do it. Not going to even pretend that that's a thing.
I was telling my wife that, like, they have us so trained now because of all the bad shit, like, where I'm just, like, so upset with so many things that when I hear something positive come on the radio where it's like, oh, but Jeff Sessions is pushing forward and looking to really prosecute the, joining in the lawsuits with other states in the opioid crisis against pharmaceutical companies. I'm like, oh, whoa, something's really happening. I was like, wait, how do they have me being excited for something good with this?
And then you read a little bit more and you find out that you really shouldn't be excited. All right, it's time for Cool or Tool. First up, Hidden Treasure, Jason.
Dude, it's fucking cool, man.
Kareem?
As long as you're not dying for it.
Hidden Treasure is Tool. You need to work for your money. This bullshit. If you want to just get money handed to you, go buy a goddamn lottery ticket. And don't tell me you're working for it because you went on a hike looking for a goddamn box in the Rocky Mountains. It's Tool. You're a tool. Stop it. And well, you're not a pirate.
You might need a tool in order to find it.
Mm. Up next in Cooler Tool, meat, Kareem.
Meat is cool.
Jason.
Cool.
Meat is fucking fantastic. It's delicious. It's nutritious. It feeds my soul.
It's what's for dinner.
That's right. And by the way, if you don't want to eat meat, good for you.
Good for you?
More for me. And finally in Cooler Tool, trophies. Trophies, Jason.
Trophies are cool.
Kareem.
Trophies are cool because I earned that shit.
Trophies are cool. I mean, no matter how lame they might be, when you were a kid and you actually earned a trophy, to have that little piece of wood with a little piece of plastic on the top, you're like, oh my God, look at this. This is awesome. And then everybody would tell you, yeah, it's great that you won that, but you can't talk about it because then it seems like you're bragging. And now they just hand them out to every Tom, Dick, and asshole.
They're like, I whooped your ass.
Well, you know what it was? I remember when I was a kid, we all got ribbons, but the really good players got actual trophies. So, like, we all didn't get trophies. Like, even if you got, like most improved, it was still a ribbon. Like, you know, MVP got one. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Yeah.
Fuck that shit.
Trophies used to be cool. They've ruined them for me, Jason. They've ruined them. They ruined them for me then, too, because, like, well, you won a trophy, but you can't talk about it because, you know, it's just... fuck you! You didn't earn a trophy. You didn't earn a trophy. You want to brag? You won a trophy.
I'll get a trophy for you.
Exactly.
I'll get a trophy for you.
You are a trophy wife already.
I'm a trophy.
Trophy husband. By the way, so my wife is rewatching The Office, and I did not realize this until I was glancing and walking by. Jason's wife bears a bit of a resemblance to Jenna Fischer from The Office. There is a bit of a resemblance there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. About the same size.
Jason's suddenly like, fuck, they're onto my secret.
And I'm I'm a tail.
And I'm like a fat Jim.
No, it has nothing to do with you. This is all about her.
Yeah.
It's like she's like Pam when she went off to art school.
Yeah. Mikey Winfield's on that show.
Yes, near the end. He's one of the guys in the warehouse.
Yeah.
Bringing back shows right and left. They brought back Queer Eye for the Straight Guy on Netflix because Netflix has everything on it now.
Yeah.
And we were talking about it before we came in here to record. Kareem has yet to watch Queer Eye.
No, I have not.
Which is disappointing to me.
But now you know something that you can put on that his SO will like. She'll definitely want to watch it.
Oh, yeah.
And then you can watch it and you can be like, you can like it too.
Yeah. And you know what? Here's the thing. I guarantee at a certain point in the show, you'll get a little bit of a tear in the corner of your eye.
Yeah, I think
it might not roll out, but it'll be there.
Okay.
Just know that and know that we know.
It's a feel-good show.
It is. It is. A lot of hugging.
It's like everything that the Ozarks is like about like how sad and shitty a humanity can be. Like Queer Eye is like the exact opposite of it.
So, go ahead.
So I mean, so Sunday I was at the laundromat, and there were two gay guys in the laundromat. I said hi to them walking in, and then I was.
It sounds like if you just like if you make Kareem white and then said these two black guys are doing their laundry, like just think about how this story starts off. I mean, it definitely sounds like the racist story starting. Okay, continue. Sorry.
Meanwhile, his inner monologue, he's saying hi. His inner monologue is like, "Hey, faggots."
That was not my inner monologue.
Look, I've already skewered Jason a lot tonight.
But Face the Nation is on television.
Right.
And so I go take one of my loads of clothes in, and Face the Nation's on. And I hear one of the parents of the kids that were killed in Florida on Face the Nation. And he's reciting the shit that he was told by the governor of Florida. So I'm listening to him and I'm shaking my head like, don't fall for it. But as I'm doing it, I walk past the guy again. And he looks at me, but he looks at me while I'm shaking my head. And after they left, I felt bad because I'm like, he probably thought I was shaking my head at them, like not approving of them. And that was not the case at all.
All right, Kareem, just let me let you in on a little secret. Now you know what it's like to be white. Welcome. Welcome to the club.
I was like, everything about it. Everything about that story. You just flip it around a little bit. You just said it. Just started it up with. I walked in, there's these two gay guys.
Well, you know, you walk in the door, they're like right there. They were like, you couldn't. Like, right there.
Yeah, right when I walked in the door, it was like two black guys. It's right there.
Goodness.
It's a laundromat. Like, you know?
What are you all doing here? also on Netflix, the new Chris Rock special is out. I finally watched it. Jason has not seen this
yet. I've not seen it.
No.
He talks a lot about his divorce.
Yeah.
There were a lot of parts of that stand-up special where I was laughing and my wife was not.
Yeah. That's a great one, dude. That was a really good one.
did you watch it with your significant other?
No.
Okay. I guarantee you there are a lot of parts where you were probably laughing and she would not be.
Oh, yeah. That happens all the time.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Of course it does.
Because they don't really want to know. they don't really want to know.
But the part where he's talking about he cheated on his wife,
yeah,
with three women,
yeah,
and he's the women in the audience are thinking, you cheated with three women. We thought you were one of the good ones. We thought you were a good guy, and all the guys are thinking. Only three?
That's it.
My wife did not laugh at that. She did not laugh. I was laughing out loud with my teeth showing. No, not a bit. So you think that's funny, don't you? And I said, yes, I do.
Did she laugh at the part where when he talks about another man taking your wife?
No. That whole part, she was not really chuckling along.
He's like, you don't want to take her.
That's right. She did not find that part funny either. There are a lot of parts.
That's because they always think that that's what it is.
That's right. They'll borrow her for a while, but they'll bring her back. It's like, you see the way she tells him what to do? That's what I want.
That's it, man. Back when I was a youngster and I was messing around with other people's women, I would be telling them, like, look, I ain't got time for this shit. Like, you go home with that shit. We're here for one thing and one thing only.
here's the thing, and we talked about it afterward about the show. Because we were, I was like, on a scale of 1 to 10, what would you give it? And her initial response was a 5.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, but are you giving it a 5 because it wasn't funny, or are you giving it a 5 because your expectation of Chris Rock was somewhere else? Was that a 7.5, but it was only a 5 because it was Chris Rock? Because you were expecting it to be a lot funnier and shit. Yeah, I guess 6.5 then. So I got her up.
Yeah.
I got her up. I guarantee that you liked it more than I did.
Yeah.
Because there's more relatable things for you than for me. And that's the same with everything. You know, he's talking about the moment when he realized he made it, when he's standing in the courtroom and everybody's trying to take his stuff.
Yeah.
He's like, that's when I made it. You know, it was probably some of the most honest Chris Rock comedy I've ever seen. My criticism of it, and it's just a pure taste thing, there was a lot of it that was less comedy and more preachy.
And
especially the beginning part of it. Then he got into it and he was doing playing the tambourine stuff. He was doing a bunch of other things and he got away from that. And I was not at all offended. And I completely get what he was saying. The joke that has caused all of the controversy is you'd think the cops would shoot a white kid every now and then.
Yeah. Oh, no, that was hilarious.
That was like within the first 10 minutes of the.
That was within the first 2 minutes.
Yes. Yeah, I watched the first like 5, 10. And
that was walks out on stage, yeah. Opening statement.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was that. I mean, I completely get the commentary.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was hilarious. I got it. I understood why he said it. And again, it's all stylistic and preference.
It's Chris Rock.
Of course it is. But there was about the first, I would say, probably 10 to 15 minutes was a lot of preaching.
Yeah. No, that first, like, yeah. I think that's why I watched like the first 5, maybe not even 10 minutes of it, but I started watching it. It's like, I'm going to need to be in a different frame of mind to watch this.
If you get past here's the thing. Once you get past the first 10 to 15 minutes, he then goes into Chris Rock stuff, and he's talking about his own life and his own relationships. He does do a whole bit about everything in his house that's white is either hot or sharp, or what's the other one?
I can't remember what the other one was.
Either way, basically he's teaching his kids that everything that's white is dangerous. Which, again, if you're Kareem, is funnier than if you're me.
Yes.
And it was on a level where you're like, if you're African American, you're like, yeah. And if you're a white guy, you're like, all right, I get it. Let's move this along. Let's move along to something else. But that would really be my only thing was like, okay, this seems a little heavy handed here and there. And it's not a Chris Rock thing. It's not a black thing. I don't really love it when any comedian starts out by lecturing me for 10 minutes.
Well, it's kind of like him holding court, right? At the beginning, like, just yeah, like, it's like kind of just him like, you know, like, hey.
And Chappelle did very similar stuff.
That's why I turned it off, because I just watched the Chappelle thing, and mm-hmm. I knew that, like, because Chappelle did the two specials, and he had the one that was like a stand-up special, but then he had the one that was more like an intimate conversation with him.
Right. It was a night with Dave Chappelle.
So I thought that what I was getting into by starting off the Chris Rock one, that I was going to get into something that was a little bit closer to that, like that episode. So I was like, I'm just going to have this on in the background, kind of, and I really need to pay attention to what he's saying.
But I will say this. If you came out and we're talking about how Chris Rock wasn't funny and all this other, fuck you.
Thank you.
Fuck you. Because there was some, I don't care who you are, there were several moments in that special that made you laugh out loud. My wife had several moments in the special where she laughed out loud at shit he was saying. If you're sitting there going, it wasn't funny. I don't know what he was doing. It's a little bit. No. And it's not just rehashed 20-year-old Chris Rock material. Yeah. There's a little bit of the playing of the hits.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of that, but you would expect that from anybody. You're going to do what makes you who you are.
Well, and he hasn't had a special for how long?
And a lot of stuff hasn't changed that should have changed.
Right. Well, I mean, even like the talk about eating ass and all of that other stuff. I mean,
Like I said, if you seen his new girlfriend, she'd be eating that ass too.
But, and again, that's not a new thing with him. So
look at him. He has to do that to keep a woman.
Well, that and pay for stuff.
Exactly.
But yeah, but the big thing is it was just, there was a lot of honesty.
Yeah.
It was not, oh, look, it's the happy jester, Chris Rock. There was so much more personal honesty put into this than he was doing when he was younger.
That's good.
And I applaud that.
Yeah.
So make it through the first 10 to 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And then enjoy yourself. You'll enjoy yourself. Maybe not the part about where everything in his house that's white is either sharp or hot.
I'm teaching my daughter the same thing.
But yeah. In your neighborhood, sure. Gentrifiers.
That's it.
All right. Is this video gone? No, it isn't. Okay. So the question came up, is the Republican Party racist?
Yes.
So MSNBC decided to ask Michael Steele, who's African-American and a former head of the Republican Party.
Did Mike Steele to be the RNC chair because he's a black guy? That was the wrong thing to do.
Well, that was the communications director for the American Conservative Union, which is putting on CPAC, the Conservative Political Action Conference, that these days draws the President of the United States as a featured speaker. And here to respond is Michael Steele, former chair of the RNC. Michael, thank you very much for coming back. We talked about this last night on The Last Word. So give us the update. Apparently, you again addressed the fact that same person we just saw, said at a dinner, the Reagan dinner for CPAC, we elected Mike Steele as chairman because he was a black guy. That was the wrong thing to do. He did later apologize. He tweeted, sometimes when you speak, the words that come out do not reflect what's intended. Many of us were critics of how Chairman Steele performed at the RNC. He's a good man, and he did his best. Did his words not come out as intended? That's weird. What do you think?
No, his words came out exactly as they were intended. His words came out exactly as he felt them. And I think he and CPAC and the party needs to be honest about that. There's no shame in that unless you have something to be shamed of. Mm-hmm. And
I think that's I think we can end it right there. I mean, he goes around the horn on it.
Oh, you didn't see the video of him with the dude?
I did not. I've only got the.
You didn't have the good video. So, there's another video of him at CPAC, or not at CPAC, but him talking to the other guy. Another guy does work for CPAC, telling him he should have more grace. And I thought Michael Steele was going to punch him in the face. He's like, what the fuck you mean? I need more grace.
His name is Matt Schlapp.
Yeah, that video.
Matt Schlapp. This came after, came afterward. Let's see. Okay. It's a 9-minute video, Kareem. I don't know how far into it we are with the whole thing.
Yeah.
Let's see if they tell me how far. No, of course they don't.
Go to probably about 7 minutes.
7 minutes in or 7 minutes left?
You got a long time, buddy.
How long is the video, you said?
9 minutes.
Okay, go about 6 minutes in.
All right, we're going to try and go about 6.5 because that's where I clicked.
To stand on that stage and denigrate my service to...
Okay. I think we're going to...
You don't have universal praise.
I don't
for
care
how you
point.
Were chairman.
I don't... And if-
I'm just fine.
Well, you've not been very graceful. You've not been very graceful to the Republicans and the conservatives in this hall and in this room for a very long period of time. You have your critics.
That's 10 years later. He was talking about why Michael
was elected chairman.
What
the hell does that have to do with anything?
Before President Trump.
All I will say is this. Michael Steele, I don't want to be on the show saying this. This is not where I want to be this morning. But not everybody. You don't have universal praise.
I don't
for
care
how you
point.
Were chairman.
I don't.
And if you okay, then is your point is that we should be for the best person, including a black man or black woman, to be the head of the RNC? I'm with you 1,000%.
All right. Let me just put this in terms that I think everybody will understand. That I've spent 41 years in this party. 41. All right. I've taken crap you have no idea about, and I've carried this baggage. And for him to stand on that stage and denigrate my service to this party, and for you as a friend to sit here and sit there and go, well, you've been critical of the party. There's only one word I can say, and I can't say it on this air.
Say it.
No, I can't, because the FCC won't allow it.
Well, why can't?
Because the reality of it is.
Why can't you hear what I have to say?
I heard what you have to say.
And it's not acceptable?
It is acceptable. I get that, but it's not about that. I know people are. Look.
What is this about?
Matt, I know people are.
You think Ian hates you because of your skin color? You really think that?
Matt.
Do you really think that?
Did I think what?
You think Ian hates you because of your skin color?
I don't know what Ian thinks. I don't know what.
But do you really think that it's plausible?
Look, all I can say is
2 minutes.
It's a reflection of what he was thinking at the time.
No,
all right. And so this, but
not again, everything. Now, when people are critical of Michael Steele, it is not.
Why
always
are you
because
making,
of race?
Wait, how did I become the person here now?
I mean, you know what, Matt?
The problem.
If Ian had.
This guy is like if a cotton ball came to life.
Yes.
A racist cotton ball came to life.
I was waiting for Michael to punch him in the face.
By the way, you're on Sirius XM. The FCC has no sway there, my friend.
Yeah, he didn't know that. That's the only reason he
Dude, he should know that. There's a big Sirius XM wall behind him. He knew where he was. He just didn't want to call him a racist motherfucker. I got a word for you.
He should have punched him in the face. He's one of those white guys that wants to egg you on because he know he'll call the police.
Well, there were cameras there.
Yes, exactly.
All right, we got a little bit of strange news from NPR for you. It's important.
Good morning, I'm David Green. Ever tried this excuse to get out of jury duty?
I'm 11 years old.
The thing is, Luke Fox really is only 11. And yet a jury summons was addressed to him at his home in Pennsylvania. He told KYW in Philadelphia that he'd serve. He knows what a jury does.
They sit during the court case and they listen to both sides of the story. Then they go into the back room and discuss it and take a vote.
The county said this was a glitch and that Luke does qualify for an exemption. It's Morning Edition.
It is Morning Edition.
It's Morning Edition.
He gets an exemption from jury duty because he's 11.
If you're breastfeeding, you get an exemption.
If you're 11 years old and breastfeeding, you get an exemption?
Yep.
Is that the plan, Jason?
You didn't know that?
11 years old and breastfeeding? All right, let's do this. God damn it.
Let's leave the hustle and bustle for small town news.
I mean, we're an hour into the show. It's time to wrap this motherfucker up.
Jesus, you guys fucking talking so much.
Uh-huh, this also from NPR. It's longer than Morning Edition, so I'll just let them explain what's going on in Vermont.
You could hold an assembly for all of the high school students at the Rochester School in Vermont in a broom closet. There are just 3 high school students on campus. Because of declining enrollment, the town's combined middle and high school will close at the end of this school year. We are joined now by 2 of those 3 students. Nicholas Steventon and Hap Ingram are the 2 freshmen at the Rochester School. They join us via Skype. Thanks so much for being with us.
No problem.
Yeah.
So do you know everyone in school?
Yeah.
Definitely.
Is there a football team?
Definitely not.
No.
Spring play?
We used to do a lot of plays. I don't think that there's one this year.
No.
So how did this happen, do you know?
Well, we've always had not that many students because we live in a small town.
Yeah.
But I think since last year there's been like a huge decline because of school choice.
Yeah. This year kids were allowed to go to any of the surrounding schools and many of them chose to go to some of the neighboring schools. But we decided to stay here because it's really close. We didn't want to have to travel to get to school.
Yeah. I have to ask you both, do you feel you're missing out on something or you're gaining something from this extraordinary experience?
I think personally I'm gaining a little bit of, I don't know, work ethic, but I'm also losing a little bit of the social aspect, but it's not necessarily negative or positive overall.
Yeah. And Hap Ingram?
Yeah.
I think that it's definitely lonely, but I've always felt like independent work was a lot easier for me, and I don't know, I don't really feel like I'm missing out, because I'm not really that much of a social person, so, yeah.
Oh. Do you folks have any idea what you're doing next year?
I will be going to a neighboring school that's about 45 minutes away from where I live, so it's going to be a bit of a change, but I'm looking forward to being with more kids.
Yeah. And Hap?
I think I'm going to try to go to Randolph, which is a neighboring school.
I went on the school website, and I see that you're selling hoodies.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, well, I almost bought one. Hoodies inscribed, "Our time has come."
Oh.
Yeah.
That's appropriate.
He almost bought one. You cheap old son of a bitch.
Yeah, why didn't you just lie and say you bought one? Jesus.
They didn't even know they were selling them.
Yeah.
You know, that's just a money grab for the White Nationalist podcast teacher. They're going on. That's what's going on. There's nothing like small town news combined with NPR to really make you want to kill yourself, is there? Kareem? You still look like you're trying to figure out what happened there.
I am. I'm going to leave that alone.
Well, we had to finish up strong. Look, we can't all be complaining about shoveling snow out of the sidewalk.
No, we can't.
By the way, there's another nor'easter... Hitting the Plattsburgh, New York area, coming up with a lot of snow. So there'll be more speak outs about the clearing the sidewalks. Don't you worry. Don't you worry. So that's going to do it for us. We'll wrap up the show and go ahead and move along with our lives. Y'all have a great weekend. We'll see you next week. Hopefully, you know, unless somebody throws up on Jason again.
Yeah.
By the way, cleanup supplies, shop Amazon tab at NateDarlingShow.com.
Yeah, clean users. Supplies too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. It's killing norovirus.
Yep. Yep. Anything you need, Amazon's got it, and you can get it through the shop Amazon tab at NateDarlingShow.com. All right, have a great weekend. I'll leave you with a little bit of Beck. It's Up All Night, throwing up on Jason. really quickly before the song ends, what did we learn today? Anything, Jason? What did you learn?
Today I learned that Olympic athletes, is that this one? That was yeah. So that sometimes it even just being a good person is bad.
Kareem, what did you learn quickly?
Jason can get a zinger in every once in a while.
Hmm. That's true. I learned Michael Steele's had enough of their shit. Bye.